Blessings of the Lord be with all the saints of God, you seekers of eternal truth. That truth rests within the heart of the Almighty, who is the very spirit of truth, written, witnessed of in St. John chapter 14 and verse 17. The eternal truth that exists because it must exist of itself, as God is the self-existent one. And our responsibility as seekers of the divine will, it's not just to our own thoughts, but to search out the deep things of God by revelation of his will. And wherever that truth takes us, that's where we want to be and where we want to go. And God bless each and every one once again. Brother Ryan with you today, thanking the Lord that we have a guide through the word on which way it is that we should go. As we live by faith that the just, they must live by that. And chief among those pillars of faith are the Hear, O Israel, commandments of the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And then love your spiritual neighbor as thyself. And in all cases, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So let's speak on the subject of times and seasons once again, the seventh installment as we go along. As Ecclesiastes chapter 3 gives us a prophetic window into the mindset of Jehovah God, Yahweh, El Shaddai, as to what would transpire in the life of Jesus Messiah, the chosen one of God who bore our sins upon the tree. And truly, there's a time and a purpose to all that God does, and in everything that happens under the sun of his making. His works are evident when you see how great the witness is that exists in creation, as we look at what God has done in order to bring forth life, for he has planted the seed that has and does bring forth after its own kind. And that's good. That's very good from the beginning. There's a power and a plan behind all that we observe around us. And the Bible is God's way of dealing with mankind, his way of reaching out to him, by using the prophets and apostles to speak words of faith inspired from above. And there is an inevitable result that comes from all that planning, all that forethought, which puts names in the Lamb's Book of Life, puts our names there. For Revelation 13:8 tells us plainly that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. Before the actual event of the cross, it was ordained that such had to be in order to be a redeemer and show greater love. God did that. He put it all in place for you and I. And times and seasons were themselves created to bring Jesus into our lives as the Almighty God would express himself through Christ. Which is all too wonderful for me, as David once said in Psalms 139 and verse 6. It's too high. I can't attain unto it. Now, I think I know exactly how he felt. I can sure understand the way that he felt. But the joy of it all is that the good news of the gospel is brought down to us in living form through Christ, as we don't have to ascend up to heaven to find the word or sail over the sea to bring it to us. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, being delivered to us in writing. And we have his word on it. Praise God. So if one can't find light and life within the pages of Scripture, well, then they're probably not really looking for it. Because being a disciple, it takes some effort, takes some discipline. It's faith without works. That's dead. Being alone. For this gospel is not only about what you believe, it's also about the way that you believe it. Which brings us to, in everything, there is a season, there is a time, there is a purpose. Brings us to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we are now to the fifth verse, which reads, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. For this study tonight, we'll just get into the first part of the scripture and deal with the second half of the verse for tomorrow. But there's a mirror image of the life and death and resurrection of the ascension on high to be found here as concerning Christ. As everything written, it leads to the cross. Every scripture leads to the hill at Golgotha, to Calvary. And it's also very vital to our understanding, because the cross would lead us to the Isle of Patmos in eventuality, and to John the Apostle Revelator finishing the last book of Scripture to be written, where the fate of humanity and Adam's race, it hangs in the balance. As you'll recall, John wept much. And there's a time to weep, a time to laugh. That was a time to weep, to be aware of the seriousness of the issue at hand. And John wept much because no one was found worthy to take the book there in Revelation 5. And he perceived within himself that the fate of all mankind depended upon the contents of that prophetic book. So weep not, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof. As John turns and sees the Lamb that was slain in his vision. So, and it's a moment here that Ecclesiastes 3 holds within itself. That's another link in the chain that'll finish the witness of the book of Revelation, as all scriptures are necessary to complete the work. Even to this point, such as the gathering of stones by David to slay the Philistine and Goliath, and then casting them at him, there's meaning even in that example. So a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, the first part of the verse. In the field of harvest, there's a time to cast away stones in order to clear the land, to get it ready to plow, get it ready to plant. Sometimes those same stones are gathered together to make a fence line or a boundary between properties to build a wall. And we'll look at that in Mark chapter 4 and read there in just a moment. As the spiritual harvest of souls, it's likewise. As Jesus taught it so within the parable of the sower and the planter, as in the example of the wheat and the tares, it's all to get ready for harvest. It's given to encourage and strengthen us, as the Word of God is a cure for anything, and it's certainly a cure for spiritual blindness, as we learn at the Master's feet. Now, Jesus taught the multitude here in Mark chapter 4 from a boat that was anchored to the shore so all could hear him there in the first and second scripture. And even that has importance. There were so many gathered there. And it shows that the care of the Lord is upon his people, because the Master wants us all to hear his words, because they're life to us. And in Mark chapter 4, and from verse 3, Jesus says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." And then some fell among thorns, and it goes on. "But thank the Lord for that which falls on the good ground, because that yields some 30, some 60, and some 100, as you finish out the parable. The lesson here, the stones of unbelief within our hearts, they need to be cast away. That which would burden us down with a load of care, the words of Jesus were sent to make us free of all that. And the seed from the planter, sower that fell on stony ground didn't have the depth, as the parable relates, to withstand the heat of the day, but the good ground yielded up its fruit in abundance. So why do we cast away stones? Well, to prepare the ground, to prepare the depth of it. As now is the time of harvest, when the stones need to be cast away." And then it concludes in verse 9, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear," which reminds us of the messages to the seven churches in Asia Minor, of Revelation 2 and 3, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." As no man knows the day nor the hour of Christ's appearing, but we do know this, it's one day closer than it was yesterday. And this is our time to draw near. We don't have another time. We don't have another life to live, not in this existence. As our inheritance is on high. It's awaiting us. And the days we live out right now, these are the only days we have to be part of that which casts away the stones of unbelief and plants the seed that brings us to the harvest. So when you have a ear for what the Spirit says and that everything you know has a time and a purpose and a season, the cares of this world, well, they just seem less to and less to you as faith takes hold. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, the great prophetic chapter of the signs of the times. As God's light brings understanding to us, and understanding, that's strength. Understanding strengthens faith because you know something. And when you know something, faith is not so easily attacked. So we need knowledge of God's word. That's why we gather together to worship him through the revelation of his word. There are many reasons why we gather together. Not the least of those are to get the revelation that the rock of the church was built upon as the Lord put all these things together. So we take it all into account, knowing that even the very altars of worship in Moses and Joshua, his day, they were made of uncut stones gathered together. That tells us that there is nothing better than what God has made. And here we come to the great cut stones of the temple at Matthew 24 and verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. See the life of Christ in those stones. He was the rock of salvation that was sent here to gather us together. He was the stone rejected, became the stone cast away by his own people. Why were the stones gathered in the first place? To build him a temple for a place of worship. That's what it was supposed to be for. The stones were certainly large in size, but stones nonetheless. Don't be impressed by the great stones gathered together. Be impressed by he who made them in the first place. God made the earth, the seas, and the fountains of water. He made the high mountains and the low valleys. And not at any time did God ever ask, Why haven't you built me a house? As it was spoken to David. The wilderness tabernacle, the meeting tent there, was sufficient to house the Ark of the Covenant. But yet God would use the gathering of the great cut stones together and the great cedar trees in the time of David and Solomon. He'd use it for good. It would serve as a central place of worship. It would keep the nation together. But those stones would be cast away in the time of Nebuchadnezzar because of his hardness of heart of the people, the hardness of heart and the rebellion that was within the nation of Judah and Jerusalem. And then in due course, by the time you come to the New Testament era, the rebuilding and remodeling of the second temple under Herod would serve as a place to receive the very messenger of the covenant himself, who would come suddenly to his temple in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. It all has meaning. It would be the place where Jesus at the age of 12 would say, Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Yet here it comes to this, that all the stones must be cast away. For in time this will lead to the era of the gospel being turned to the Gentiles until their days and ages would be fulfilled. And so not one stone was left upon another. But you can't throw down what God has ordained. The very stars above that led the wise men to the town of Bethlehem, they're against you. As it's written in Judges 5:20. God has gathered the stars of the second heavens to witness against you. And in Matthew 28, here we see the ultimate in the casting away of the stone. Matthew 28, from verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Roll back the stone, cast it aside, and let the light of glory dispel the depth of the darkness. As I like to think, there was brilliant light at the moment of resurrection. No scripture records it, but however it stands, I like to think there was brilliant light at that moment. So there's more to the story of life than what the natural eye sees. There's a purpose to every blessed line of scripture. There's awareness, there's depth, there's precision. As Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 5 is not a direct prophecy of the rolling away of the stone there in Matthew 28, but it sure does support all the scriptures that tell us of that day. It's in line with all that's written. It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead. And all our hope and faith depends upon that moment, the moment of all moments, when death itself would be rolled away like a stone. It wasn't just a circular cut stone that got cast aside there. It was death itself being rolled away, that it would no longer have dominion over us, in order that the fear of death that would subject us to bondage would itself be gotten out of the way. And that's the ultimate victory. Stones are here to be used as God intends, whether it's the gathering together or the casting away thereof. His will be done. And God bless all those who are anchored upon the solid rock of Christ Jesus. Amen.